Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for your presence that is with us. We thank you for the life that you have given us. Today, as we share your word, we ask that you prepare our hearts, that our hearts will be good ground to receive that which you have prepared. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Usually, I would say, lift up your hands and declare with me that I believe the Bible. But today, I would like to speak to those that believe and those that do not believe. I'd like to speak to those that are of this faith and every other assembly. Those that have called themselves or identified by different names. You want to be gay, you want to be lesbian, you want to be in the LGBTQ community, you want to be Muslim, you want to be Hindu, whatever you call yourself. I believe that the word of God has power and can cause change in the life of anybody. Many years ago, I was in Namjazikiwe University in Nigeria. And there were these two sisters that lived in the same room. And one of them will always say, "It's speaking in tongues, so this Holy Spirit thing, it's too much. Let's just go to church. Let's all be Christians. Let's all believe the same God and just live a good life." And the other one would try to talk to her and say, "You know, it's beyond just going to church and being a Christian. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the influence of the Spirit in your life." She would say, "That's too much." Unfortunately, at that time, if you are aware of what Nigerian laws are like, for those of you from Nigeria, in Nigeria, the rape law states that before somebody can be convicted of rape, there has to be overwhelming evidence or a witness. So it's hard to convict anybody of rape. Because if you go to court and say, "Oh, I was raped," somebody will have to come and say, "I was there." Who rapes anybody when somebody was there? So it's hard. So we were in school and those two sisters were living in the same hostel. And one night, robbers broke in. Kicked the doors open. Guns blazing. And just before they broke in, the sister that told the story said she went to use the bathroom. She was in the restroom and she heard doors cracking and gunshots going off. So she lay down on the floor in the bathroom. It was there. And her friend was in the room. So they broke into the room and they picked the girl up. And they robbed, they took their phones, took everything. And as it was a culture with those guys that used to do those kind of robberies, they will rob and they will rape the girls. And because it was such a stigma in that society, every time there was a robbery and people were raped, nobody would agree that they were raped. They said, "They robbed that hostel. Were you there? I was there. Did they rape you?" "No." So everybody used to act like, "I know," because they didn't want to be associated with the term that the person was raped. Right? So the young lady was on the bed, the robbers broke in, picked her up, pulled her to the side, and after they finished beating her, taking their phones and everything, one of them said, "Rape her." And the sister that told the story said, as she was on the floor, trembling and crying and praying, all of a sudden, she heard loud speaking in tongues. Somebody was shouting, speaking. She was like, "This is not familiar. If you live with someone that speaks in tongues, you will know that this is the person's kind of way of speaking." So the confidence the person was using to speak in tongues, she got up, opened the door and looked. It was her friend that had been saying all these things are not necessary. But when they pinned her to the wall, when her back was against the wall and she was going to be raped, She found Christ. She received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues immediately. She said the guy that was trying to rape her looked, stepped back and said, ah, this one don't crease. And they walked away. After that incident, for the rest of their stay in school, every morning, that lady spoke in tongues. Don't wait. Don't wait till your back is against the wall and everything has been taken from you and your dignity is at stake before you break down and listen to the Spirit of God. This morning, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. And I'll quickly go over a few things. Number one, who is the Spirit of the Lord? Number two, how does he manifest himself? What evidence is there of the manifestation of the Spirit? And number three, to whom? Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke 4 from verse 18 to 21. Luke 4 from verse 18 to 21. Now, before this time, before Jesus was born, there was an institution of how people believed that the Messiah was supposed to come. And this belief had gone on for thousands of years. There were records in the Old Testament of people that the Holy Spirit had come on and they had done mighty things. Now, there's traditional service like this going on. And one young man takes the scrolls, opens it, and starts to read from verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closes this book and goes to sit down. And next thing he says, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, it's something you can say amen about, but I'm sure in the time of Jesus, they wanted to slap him. Because they were like, you? Oh, is this day you, small boy, want to come and fulfill all these things that the prophet Isaiah said? Who is this Holy Spirit? Because for somebody to be able to make this bold claim that today the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, you need to go back and see what it really meant for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon people. Let's look at Genesis 1. Now we're talking about who is the Spirit of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, from verse chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." This first tells me that the Spirit of God is an enforcer of the will of God on earth. Because if you look at every time after that where God said something, it happened. But it started by talking about the Spirit of God moving over the face of the waters. So he's there. And every time you see the presence of God appear to a man in the first parts of the Old Testament, he didn't just come to sit down and, you know, not achieve anything. Every time the Spirit of God appeared to a man, it was to change the course of life forever. Started with Cain. One Cain didn't listen, and that was it. Cain's chapter was closed. Right? Moved on. Next time you hear that the Spirit of God walked with somebody, it was Enoch. God loved him, walked with him, took him away. Hundreds of years later, he's appearing to Noah, saying, Noah, this earth has become in a way that I don't like. I'm going to destroy it. So every time God is appearing, something is changing. Next time, he appears to Abraham. And that's why we are gathered here today, right? So, we can establish that the Spirit of God is an enforcer. He comes, he speaks a word, and he does it. But how can we establish a pattern on how the Spirit of God appears? Now, because I hear too many times that, oh, there's no God. Look at the way the whole world is. There can't be God. Look at science. It can't be God, and people just, you know, try to reduce or bring down the influence of God's Spirit on earth. But I start to look at the trend with all the names I mentioned, and I see that the first thing about the Holy Spirit is that if his intent, if his sole intent was to come and show out his power, that everybody should tremble at his presence, he wouldn't need to come subtly through, you know, men and talk to them. He would appear in the sky. Everywhere we go, black, oh, I'm God. And everybody will kneel down. But that has never, ever been his intention. From the day man was created, he never approached us like that. Look at Adam. The Bible says in the cool of the day, God came walking. Because that has always been his approach to man. How he wants to manifest himself to you is to come to you and create a relationship. I want to note that in building that relationship, God is never in a hurry. Doesn't matter if you think that the world is crashing down. If you look at these timelines, God comes to Abraham, speaks to Isaac, to Jacob. After he was done with Jacob and everything that happened with Israel and Egypt and settling his people in Egypt, 500 years, he didn't talk to anybody. So he's not in a hurry. So I hear people come up and say, oh, yeah, if God is God, he's God. He doesn't need to prove it. He will calm down. All of the scientists that are talking now, this is not the first time scientists have been talking. Do you remember in Egypt when Moses showed up and said, God sent me? Pharaoh laughed, which God? All the same type of people came out. What can God do that we cannot do? Is that not what you hear today? God in his patience. He doesn't even need to fight you. He just waits for you to die, your children, your grandchildren, and come like five generations later because he's God. So it's not you that dictates to him how to prove himself to be God to you. He's God all by himself. And there's a sweet spirit that he sends that moves over the surface of the earth. But in his ways of manifesting himself, he has chosen to build relationship with you and me. I'm talking about beauty. Today, I wonder how relationships are built because I see people meeting on Tinder. You like, you click, you like, you send text. What? I don't know. I don't understand. There's something taken away from building relationships when that's how you meet. Because I remember when I was in school, you had to write the lyrics. Some people are looking at me now. You had to write the lyrics. If you're going to meet a girl, you had to see the girl and look at her, then think of a song that you think she would like and start writing. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, you will write it. I like you, yeah. Right? You had to boldly take yourself to them and explain what you want. And the girl will look up like this and be looking sideways and be looking down and you'll be talking and you don't know whether she's hearing or not, but you'll be talking. And at some point, if she smiles, you say, yes, she smiled. But today, you send text. Say, I love you. Put the emoji with love eyes. How do you? There's something about that. So, 500 years of no relationship and God was coming to spot himself to man. And he shows up. But if he had showed up the way he showed up to Samuel, to Moses, and said, hey, Moses, it won't have been fresh. So God showed up in the bush, looked left, looked right, lit a fire. The bush was not consumed. So Moses is walking by, and Moses sees the bush. Moses said, now, wow. And God said, Moses, come on, come on, come on, let's talk. Are you seeing how God is wooing his people, bringing them to himself, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling men to himself? So, let me tell you, God is not threatened by how you decide to identify. You want to be straight, you want to be gay, you want to be Muslim, you want to be Hindu. We are not in a religion here. When it's time, he brings himself to you. Irrespective of what you chose to go as, it does not stop him from showing his love to you. And consistently, every single time, he manifests himself in winning men to himself. One of the sad things that I've heard amongst younger people today is when you say, oh, what do you believe? And you say, I don't believe in God or this Christian thing. And they complained, oh, my grandmama forced me too much. Oh, my father was too aggressive. Oh, I don't like the way the church treated me. So people have taken offense and left Christ because of issues that have happened, right? That have hurt them, that have broken them. I said, I don't want this anymore. So sad when you start hearing stories of people saying, oh, what happened? Oh, the pastor raped me. Things that should not be heard amongst children of God, and they walk away from Christ. But listen to me. Christ himself cannot be misrepresented. Anybody that has done anything that has made any man to walk away from him, I ask for you to open up your heart, because he's knocking. He is knocking. He said, if any man would hear my voice and open up, I will come in and listen from age to age. Every man that has opened up their hearts and he has come in, he has not disappointed them. He hasn't disappointed them. Just like we were talking about in the review this morning, it might seem like it's taking forever. It might seem like it's not going to happen. It might seem like it's not going to happen. But he says, will a mother forget her sucking child? Said, though she forget, I, the Lord, he sticks his name on it, will not forget you. This is where David starts to say, I've been young, but now I'm older. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread in the morning or in the night. He's faithful through ages, through generations. Why will he stop now? Why will he stop now? And I feel led to say this. If you have a husband, if you have a wife, if you have a child, if you have a friend, anyone that has been hurt or feels like, oh, they don't need this Christ, lift up your hands and pray for them right now. Lift up your hands and pray for them right now. Lift up your hands and pray for them right now. If it's a colleague you have at work that has once heard about the gospel and somebody somewhere has offended them and they've walked away, lift up your hands and pray for them right now. Because the Lord of the harvest is knocking at every heart. Knocking at every heart. He's the one that specializes in visiting men all by himself. He's the one that makes ways out of no ways. Lord, we pray that your spirit be moved today. Touch every heart. Touch every man. Touch every woman that has been wounded. Heal them in the name of our Lord Jesus. If there's anyone that's sick, ask that your healing power will move on them, whether they be here or be at home or be anywhere. And let your presence rest on them and cause change in their lives in the name of our Lord Jesus. So, One of the ways that we have often identified with the Holy Spirit is the fruits of the Spirit. And many times, we are very easy to judge people based on what we perceive is their evidence or the show of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, tender-heartedness. So I see you, and I'm like, I don't like the way Success is squeezing her face. It's not love. I don't like the way one person acts like this. So people start to judge the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of other people based on sensory perception. But I want to tell you, because one of the things that happens very often is even when you try to move forward and make strides with walking with God, the devil starts to remind you that is it not you? Is it not you? Is it not you that always has hot temper? Is it not you that nobody can console? Is it not you that is always bitter? So even when you are moving forward with God, the devil is, you know, plucking at your feet, making you look like, oh, you can't be the one that has the Holy Spirit, making you doubt your relationship with God. But I will state that the evidence of God's presence in your life cannot be judged by sensory perception. As a young man till now, my dad calls me gentleman. So because I was born and I'm gentle, does that make me have, is that a fruit of the Spirit? No, it's not. But sensory perception has made us look at some people and be like, oh, this guy must be a Christian. And this one is always angry. This one cannot be a Christian. Sensory perception will make you look at somebody and tell them, ah, look at all the tattoos on you. My request to you this morning is that you drop sensory perception and allow the Lord to move in the lives of people the way he wants to move. Somebody might look like a drug addict today. Somebody might look like he's a write-off today. The Spirit of God can turn his life around now and make a difference in that life. One of the references I would like to point out about the Spirit of God is how he manifests himself. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 5 from verse 6, Revelation 5, verse 6. He starts to talk about, and I behold, are you there? Okay, it's up on the screen. Great. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Are these seven spirits of God? No, it's one spirit, right? But he has these ways of manifesting himself, and it's pointed out at different points in Revelation, but the one that I would draw your attention to is in Isaiah 11 from verse 2. Isaiah 11 from verse 2, because this is one of the places that clearly spells out all of these manifestations. From verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, I will take it down up. If there's anything that the enemy has tried to target in this generation, it is the fear of the Lord. It's people coming up and saying derogatory things about God and his existence without any fear. What will you do? Right? Come up with songs, throwing God's name and, you know, use an F word to follow. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. The enemy tries to make it look as if, oh, there's no fear of God. But in this manifestation of the Holy Spirit The fear of the Lord is one thing that should never leave your mouth. Do not join anybody. In the New Testament, I believe it's in Matthew 5 or 6, one of the ones we've been looking at, Jesus was giving proverbs, parables. But this one was not a parable. He said it clearly. If you blaspheme against the Spirit of the Lord, there's no forgiveness for that one. Don't let the devil box you into a corner with blasphemy. They took Job, cursed God, and died. Because he knew that the one thing the devil would try to get you to do is blasphemy. Speak against him. Don't do it. The next one is the spirit of counsel and might. Now, I would point out about the spirit of might. When you talk about the spirit of might, people often associate the person Samson with the spirit of might. But do you know that there was no point in the Bible where the Bible said Samson has the spirit of might? It said the spirit of the Lord came upon him to do. He did not ever associate him with the spirit of might. Why? Because I reckon that this word might, God has kept it for himself. So as he introduces himself as the mighty God, it's beyond just the actions of man. Those actions obviously were inspired by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about the might. Because if you don't understand the might of the Holy Spirit, you will carry the Holy Spirit and be afraid. If you understand the might, listen, there was a time that Gideon was in battle and the sun was going to go down. And he said, Lord, I want this sun to stay up so I can finish my enemies today. And the sun did not go down that day. Do you understand might? Now, if you understand science, you will understand that the sun actually does not move in reality. The sun is in one place. It's the earth that goes around. So what happened? He that says he holds the whole world in his hand, he held it to move. That's might. The ability to change things and say, because I am God, this will happen and it will happen. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, when he was talking to the church in Philadelphia, he said, I'm he that opens the door and no man can shut it. I'm he that shuts and no man can open. He now says, I have said before, you an open door. And what he says next is interesting. He said, your strength is little. Your strength is little, but you have kept my word. Is there anybody that sometimes you feel like your strength is little? You want to try this, it fails. You make some of you that made your New Year resolution just now. This is February, it has failed. Your strength is little. See, in the day of adversity, if your strength fails you, little. But God is saying that don't rest on your own strengths. Don't look at your own understanding. Don't weigh your own ability. Leave it for me. That because you have kept my word, what is your job here? Your job is to keep his word. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Keep his word. Keep his word in your hearts and watch your life change. Jeremiah is looking at it. I think it's in Jeremiah 20, where he says that, see, I have proposed in myself that I will not speak. I will hold myself. Because all of this advice, I must speak. This wild has becoming too much. He said, but his word on the inside of me is like fire in my bones. Do you understand what his word does to you? One of the things that I've noticed recently is I in the evenings, I go out to pray. It's take a walk in my neighborhood. Go to pray. Come back almost sweating. One day, I went to take a phone call outside. As usual, I always just walk out in the evening. And it's been cold. So as I was walking out to take that phone call, I was shivering, I was shaking. What's going on? I said, this place is not always this cold. No, it's because when you walk with God, it changes everything around you. Do you understand what I'm trying to point out? Jesus told the disciples, go, I need to pray. And he had prayed and prayed and prayed. And at a certain time of the night, he starts to walk on the water. Anything that has robbed you from praying in your life, my brother, please go back to that. Go back to your knees. Create a space and a time to pray so that you will fellowship and rub off on this Holy Spirit so that he can change everything about you. I want to point out something. In bookkeeping, accounting. I'm a trained banker, so I will use this as an illustration. There's something called double entry. Is anybody familiar with that term, double entry? In bookkeeping, if you post a transaction or you pass a transaction here, you have to enter the corresponding entry somewhere else, right? So that your books will be balanced. So, if you come into the bank where I used to work and you say, oh, I want to take money out, you get an alert. Bam! Your account has been debited and you take your money and go. But that's not the end. It's just you. On the back end, before they can debit your account, they had to have credited the account of the person that is going to pay you. So if that's not done on the back end, nothing can happen on the front end, right? That's my analogy. Now see, before anything can happen in the physical, there's a back end posting that has been triggered before it happens in the front. If you only live your life in the front, only live your life, you dress up, you look good, you go and get it, you will be at the mercy of the enemy. The Bible talks about being a prey. He had not allowed us to be a prey to their teeth. You'd be at the mercy of the enemy. My wife was telling me about somebody that went to work one day, and after some time, why? Sicknesses just hits people left and right. Why? At the mercy of the enemy. You drive on the streets. You are driving, you are fine. A drunk person just comes and clears you. You are dead. Why? Because you are living end on the front end. But when you pray, you are the back end posting your transactions for the day. So that when things start to unfold, you are not shocked. If all of a sudden something happens to you, you check your entries. This one is not posted here. It's a wrong entry. Can you imagine you didn't go to the bank, you didn't use your card, you just sit there with alerts. What will you do? You go to the bank and go and complain. I did not take this money. But guess what? At the back end, they will rectify it. Right? And you see your alerts back. If sickness comes upon you suddenly and you accept it, you're like that man that got an alert but did not complain to the bank. Because the Lord, this is what David knew. David did not say, oh, the king of social places is my shepherd. This one is my helper. I will run to Obama. I will run to Trump. He didn't say any of those things. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. This is a man that knows how to pass the back-end transactions. You think it was when David was in battle, swinging sword, that he was talking to God? No! He had done all those prayers. When he walks out unconquerable. And one of the things you should note about Christ is that he does not walk with many people. A lot of people, like, election is coming now, they're looking for plenty of food. God does not do that. As a matter of fact, if you look at the book of Judges, from chapter 7, from verse 2 to 3, let's read it. Judges 7. From verse 2, he said, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Why are you carrying this crowd to? Tell anyone that is afraid to go home. Do you know how many the Bible said went home? 22,000 people went home. Why are you looking for crowd? Something happens in your life, you are calling, you are looking for who will help you. Like, why are you looking for a crowd? 22,000 people went home. God says it's not enough. There are still too many. Go to the water. That's verse 7 now. They are not enough. Until those millions of people that were supposed to be going about and making noise, God chose 300. He said, by these 300, by these few, I will give the enemy to your hands. Listen, God does not need you to be big. So I heard something recently that gave me a tummy ache, where a pastor was talking about how we need to have money and influence so that we can move things and influence things in this world. That was so sad. You need to have money and influence That's a man that does not have the Holy Spirit. Or maybe he has. He does not know the Holy Spirit. There's never been a time that the Holy Spirit needed money and influence to do anything. Some of you, you wake up in the morning, the first thing is news. CNN, Fox, BBC, Twitter. You are looking for news to know how your day is going to go. God has never needed the input of man to know how his day is going to go. As he says a word, he performs what he has spoken. You wake up in the morning, close Twitter, close your eyes, speak the word of God to your day. Change the course of life for yourself. Change the course of life for yourself. If you continue to depend on men, men will surely fail you. That's a guarantee from me to you. If you continue to wait for what other people can do, it will surely fail you. But I have one that wouldn't fail you. The Bible says that Jesus, in Matthew 6 from verse 9, he starts to teach his people how to pray. Matthew 6 from verse 9. And over the years, many people have taken this to be just a generic prayer. You teach your children how to say it. So you just gather and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom." And no, you have missed everything. You need to understand what Jesus is trying to do here. He's showing you the blueprint of how to walk with the spirits. This is when you pray, when you come in contact with him. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing to declare is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come." Remember who I said, the Holy Spirit, he's the enforcer of his will on earth. But guess what? God doesn't do that anymore where he speaks. No. Because he has given you and me, the rights to function on earth by his word. He said, according to my word, command ye me. So the might of the Holy Spirit is standing behind you, waiting for you to give a command so that I can go forth and implement it in your life. You're afraid because you are reading news. Many times I tell them in my house, shut the news down. Don't let the news put fear inside of you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Look how powerful the president of this nation is. If he says move, things are moving. If he says bomb here, things are bomb. And that's a man. When God says his will be done on earth, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to continue to enforce that which he has declared on earth. That will be done on earth. You have everything it takes to be able to enforce his will. But fear continues to hold you back. Let me tell you something that funny that happened a year ago or so. I was at home and we set up Alexa. Alexa, very nice AI tool, help you, robot to, you know, ask it anything. Alexa in the house. And we're just asking Alexa questions. And we said, "Alexa," we are set up, all of us that live in the house. And we said, "Alexa, how many people live in this house?" I assume that Alexa would say four people because we set up four people. Alexa said, "We are 450 people living in the house." I said, "This is Alexa." "Well, before we could take you," I said, no, it's true. "There's four of us. And 446 angels waiting." Alexa saw them. We are many. We are more than what the enemy thinks that we are. If you have that behind you, when you pray, you know how many people are going. Somebody said there's school shooting with 450 angels. Are they sleeping? To shoot which child? That's the attitude you should have. People, you should tell them no. So they said, "No, don't worry. My kids are safe. Worry about other people's children." Sure. Tell people to go to where my kids are. They said, "Are you keeping something in your mouth?" Yes. Yes. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day." Note, he did not say he will give us. This is a demand. The systems of this world have made it so that you believe that income should come here. It's every 2 weeks, right? Or every month. You believe that when you put in an investment, it should take so time, 49%, You say, oh, that's great investment rate. No, 14, not the small, small percentage. Give us this day. It's a demand. You wake up every day, you demand it. What you need for the day, the Lord is willing to provide it, to move men from everywhere in the world, but you're not demanding. And one of the things I know with the way finance works is at the end of the year, that benefit, they sweep it away. It's a wonder. Every year, banks will make big profits, but the next year, start from zero again. What happens to the money? If you don't demand for your daily benefit, it's there waiting for you to demand for it. If you don't open your brain and say, Lord, this day, what have you prepared for me? You will be losing daily benefits. We're talking about it in the Sunday school the other time. When Jesus was giving the parable of the sower, he said, when he came to the one on good ground, he said there will be 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold of profits. But initially, I was interpreting it to be just percentages, 30%. And Dr. Precious pointed it out. Hey, it's not saying percentage. It's fold. So, if you're making 10%, sorry, I'm a banker, so money. If you're making 10% of a $1,000 investment, that's $1,100, right? If you're making two-fold of a $1,000 investment, that is $2,000. So the minimum expectation of profitability in your life is 30. Don't count yourself small. When you're planning, when you're looking for things to move into, don't move and be looking for small, small arrangements. Because what God has prepared for you is large. Give us this day our daily bread. You ask for 1%, you get it. You ask for 2%, you get it. Lord, 100. My barns will be full. But guess what? Every time the anointing of God's Spirit come on people and things and his word is spoken, immediately it does not look like anything is happening. So you look like a mad person when you are talking. Imagine if David had come out and say, I'm the anointed of the Lord, and go to Saul. He would have died that day. But he calmed down. But the word of God in him was gradually shaping his life, directing his life to where he wants it to be. Don't give up on speaking into the lives of your children. Don't give up on speaking into the lives of those around you. When the cloud is full, it will empty itself upon the earth. And the person that you're thinking is not hearing the word of God, he will show in his life. The evidence of God's presence in a man is not seen by the ordinary eyes. It comes up when God calls it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is very, very important. But I need to know something. The word forgiveness has been so watered down. So when something happens, someone just says, just forgive him now. I know you're Christian, just forgive him. No. Forgiveness is not actually a normal human activity. Human beings are not built to forgive anything. Right? Up until the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye. Don't forgive anything. So it's not a normal human occurrence. You can't just tell somebody forgive and the person, somebody will not say forgive and forget. There's no forget. You see anywhere in the Bible, they will forgive and forget. It doesn't happen. You don't have amnesia. Why would you forget? Right? So somebody offends you. The hurt is in your heart. You feel pain. You're holding on to it. You don't know how to let up. You say, just leave it go now. Have you not prayed? Have you not, a Christian? No! It's not in the human ability to forgive. That's why it's added in this prayer. Is something you should receive of the Lord. I know say, when somebody was sick and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, he shocked everybody because you don't do that. Forgive how? But guess what? It's part of the divine abilities that God releases to you as someone with the Holy Spirit to forgive. So don't feel bad when it's hard to forgive. It is human to not forgive anybody. Right? I like the way we used to do it at work. One of the things about being in church is that church, we always smile at each other. At work, you set trap. If somebody offends you, you set a trap. The day you fall into my trap, I get you. Send mail to management. Sack you. Because man does not forgive, it's normal. But there's a divine ability. You will not forget. If you are dealing with pain, you will not forget. So every time you remember, you say, don't let the devil rob you. You will not forget. But your heart will be at peace. Your heart will be at peace. So that, now, note, he says, forgive those who trespass against us. Right? That your father will forgive you. So that your father will release forgiveness to you. And you will have the ability to walk past pain. When I heard that it was one person, one human being that sat down on a promotion that I was looking for 9 years, I could have gone to kill her. I was angry. What kind of wickedness is this? Every time I hear her name, I start cursing, useless woman, witches, witches in this office. You forgive. You will still remember, but you forgive. By God's divine abilities, you forgive. And this is what happens when you forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You can. Jesus, the moment the Holy Spirit came upon him, temptation streets. You want him to deliver you from evil? You gotta let it go. Oh, people have done terrible things in this world to people, but you gotta let it go. So that you'll be delivered from evil. And this is the best part. For thine is the kingdom. After we've walked through every single step, now we know. After everything you've achieved, the moment you start to acknowledge what is the kingdom, it's you. It's you. You are the enforcer. You are the one that God has put his hand on. You are the one that God has put his spirit on. Everything you own is his. The moment you start to acknowledge that it's not by your power, not by your might, then you start to acknowledge that he's God all by himself. Then you will see the power and the glory. Then you will see the power and the glory. And I'm not talking about small activities of power. No. You start to experience him in ways that are unimaginable. Then you will see the power and the glory. Then you will see his hand on your life, his hand on your children. There is no kingdom without his power. Listen, many of you that have gone to, you know, try to share the gospel and people are angry with you, people are spitting at you, go and sit down. There's no power. You need to go. When Jesus sent his disciples, he sent them, go. He will heal the sick. The sick will answer. All of the people that are dragging with you, fighting, you say, oh, you preach and they beat you. Powerlessness. Today, I declare, as you follow the blueprint that God and Jesus Christ has given us in his word, power will come to you to change the lives around you. You will make a positive impact in the places where you are, where you sit, where you stand, where you eat, that men will not be able to deny that the Lord is with you. As we close, I will point out that the one thing the Lord needs from you, he's already powerful himself, he doesn't need to prove it to you, he is to build your relationship with him. Walk with him. Open your heart. Let him talk to you. Let him see you through. I'll give one example as I go. Right? Sister Choma is my sister. Right? And you are in nursing? In nursing. Imagine that every time I see you, Sister Choma, hey, please, what medicine am I going to take for? Oh, I need this. After some time of calling you, will you take my calls? You won't take it. Don't pretend you will not take it. Every time I call, you say, what does he want? I know people like that. You don't take that because everybody's calls you take. No. As a Buddha, you put it. I'll talk to him later. It's disturbing. But if I call you, Sister Choma, how far? Where are you? I'm coming. And you are bored at home. Next time I come to your home, you know, bring drinks. We talk. We just. It doesn't change the fact that you know about nothing. But that's not my primary aim of relating with you. I'm relating with you because I like you. I'm relating because I want to see you. Next time, how you know someone that likes you is that when they see you from a distance, they already know, see, this person likes this person. Right?
I continue to build that relationship, the day you see me not feeling well, do I need to ask you? The one reason why you are asking, and not receiving is that he does not know you. He doesn't know you. What do you mean by we are all children of God? We are all God's creation, we are not his children. The people that are his children are people that have known him, have identified with him. The whole world will go up in flames. He will not move. He will save his own children. Did you not remember the story with Abraham? Sodom and Gomorrah was burning. It was just with Abraham. Do you have the relationship with God that the whole earth will be burning? It will be just with you. Do you think by mistake one fire would have come near where Abraham was, where God is? It was just with him. A whole city was build your relationship with God. Stand to your feet. Everybody will be crying in pain. You will be happy. There was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. Build your relationship with him. He will change everything that has to do with you. Stop going after him. God, heal me. Heal my head. Heal my eye. Heal my nose. Heal my children. What are you talking about? Build your relationship with him. Let him love you. Let him cause bushes to burn just to impress you. The Bible says when Jesus was walking on water, he was walking. He did as if he was going to go. As if he was not. He knew that he was there. He knew. But he did as if. That's relationship. What relationship do you have with Jesus? Talk to him. And if you don't know Jesus, if you watch this anytime in the future and you don't know Jesus, I call you today to let him into your heart. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to meet you at the point of your need. He wants to build a relationship with you. He wants to be in love with you. He wants you to just check up on him. You know how it is when you're at work and you see a text message from your loved one, say, how are you? He wants to be at work and he just sees your call in the afternoon and say, Lord God, how are you? I love you. Ah, he's gingered. Build relationship with God now. You are suffering for nothing. He can help you. But build relationship with God. Talk to him. This is a very broad topic of the Spirit of the Lord. But I've touched it to let you know that you can't just have the Spirit of God and he's not doing anything in your life. And you are dormant, like a dormant account. He wants to be active. He wants you to draw out of your wells of salvation. He wants you to draw daily benefits. He wants you to talk to him. Everything that you are praying for is nothing in his eyes, but talk to him. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray for your children. I know that there are many that are choked with the cares of this life. You have to run out in the morning. You walk late at night. You walk into the night. You walk early in the morning. You got to go to school and work. You have to deal with your children and deal with all of the activities. I know. But Lord Jesus, I ask for grace. Grace to be multiplied to your children. Grace to be multiplied to your children. That they will find room for you in their hearts. Lord, I pray for as many that have left the faith, out of annoyance, out of hurt, that you heal their hearts. You bring love to their hearts. You help them to see you as you are, the loving Father, the omnipotent Father, the one that does not fail, the one that does not leave us. Blessed be your name, Lord. I thank you for your Spirit that's resting upon us right now. If there's anyone that has not received that Holy Spirit from God, I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on you right now and cause a change in your life. And cause a change in your life. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also heal your mortal bodies and give you vitality. He is here. He's resting on you right now. Receive him in your hearts. Receive him in your bodies. Receive him in every part, everything that concerns you. In the name of our Lord Jesus. If there be any home that is troubled, if there be any home that is falling apart, I ask Lord Jesus that healing comes to those homes. In the name of our Lord Jesus. If there's any one of your children, any one of your siblings that has a home that's falling apart, we speak life. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we know that your word is able to cause changes. We see and receive those changes from you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Can you put your hands together for Jesus?